Hello, and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting and education and children. Well, it's everything about kids, basically. And normal laws, as I've said before, is 0 to 18 years, and this actually extends beyond that. The reason why I'm saying this is because, like, apart from the parents that listen to my podcast and maybe those dealing with children, as I have a lot of young people who listen, young adults, actually even older ones, I have people with kids as old as 18 who say that they relate so much to it because some of these things are what they go through or went through actually as a child, and seeing the effects in what I'm saying as like, oh yeah, this is how I behave as an adult. So we are trying to save our kids from having the same traumas. But anyway, Danielle Ochieng is my name. Yes, I love kids. I adore them. They're center of everything, and that's why I actually do this podcast. And so today's podcast is about shame. And I don't know what your experience with shaming was, but when we were kids, there was a song that teachers taught us to shame our peers, mostly in preschool, when they did something that was said like that was not acceptable. But would it like call them unacceptable? Okay, it depends. You know, for example, a child who made a mess on themselves, like maybe peed or pooped. So instead of finding out why this child who was able to take care of themselves and take themselves to the bathroom is suddenly doing their business on themselves, we would sing for them this song. And I don't know if you can relate to it, but it used to go, shame, shame, shame on you. All the doodles know your name, a very big shame on you. I don't know if you can, like, I don't know. Other places probably have different songs, but that's the one I grew up with. And apart from that being such a shaming song and a deep self-esteem destroyer on its own, we were made to increase our decibels when singing it till we were shouting. So it was louder in the victim's ears. And we're even made to make hand motions of the same. You know, like you'd put your fingers like, you know, like you're trying to hold a big thing and like shame, shame, and you're pointing towards the person. I'm sure some of us know what I'm talking about. It was always nice when you're not the victim, but if you are, it was beyond traumatic. All those faces of other children mocking you and the teacher making sure you're in the front of the classroom or even the center, you know, or make it worse, totally surrounded by everybody. And the teacher is probably the loudest or pushing you, you know, like pushing your head or pushing you or something like that. You know, let me just stop because I'm sure you get the point and I just don't want to go back. I think when you're not that kid, first of all, my parents didn't raise us enjoying shaming people. So it was kind of not comfortable, but because if you did not sing it, the teacher would probably beat you or punish you or look badly at you or call you out, so you'd have to do it. And or worst, if you're in the middle, my goodness. Yeah, anyway, it's just one of the many ways our kids are destroyed through shaming. And shame is a silent killer. There's no evidence, scars or wound. It doesn't have an outward appearance. It doesn't go shouting around, but it runs deep. People die from it, like not physically, but I'm sure you get what I'm trying to say. It's just starts from the inside. By the time it's coming out, it's either too late. You can see it in the child, the symptoms that manifest in this kid, or even teenager, or even young adult or older adult. People are shy, timid, not shy, you know, timid, and like you're fearful and you're constantly worrying, what will people say about me? How will people react? What if they don't like me? What if they make fun of me? You know, that comes from a shaming background. And I think sometimes it's worse when it comes from our parents. I'm glad we never had that. And my mom and dad, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm really grateful to you guys for it. You really did your best. And here's the thing. Let me start by saying that I know our intentions, even as parents, when we shame our kids. Because, you know, you'd call them, oh, you stupid girl or boy, you're useless, you're good for nothing, nothing ever good comes out of you, you're just... I believe our intentions are not to destroy our kids. They do something wrong, we just want to guide them into what is right, because the world will not be gentle with them if they carry those bad habits out here. And it's a great thing. Keep training up the child in the way he or she should go. But my point is, there's a difference between, I don't know if I call it shaming and correcting or shaming and constructive criticism, because criticizing has a negative connotation, because usually we don't do it to improve the person. When you tell a child you're bad, you know, or you're stupid, it's coming attacking who the child is as a person. You know, kids internalize these criticisms. They take things to heart, and what you say becomes their reality. How do I put it? It just gets to me because, I mean, I think kids' self-esteem, like, it's just really affecting me. Even seeing adults, some of my friends, and just the way they are, it hurts me because I know it started in the childhood and some of them are trying to build it right now, but sometimes it's very difficult because those voices keep playing in your head. Okay, you know what? Let me just continue. As the parent, you know, or if you're a teacher or a caregiver or whoever you are, as long as you're interacting with young people, the way we judge them as a person is how they end up judging themselves. If you call them liars, they will call themselves liars. You call them stupid, they will know they're stupid. Anything they do, even if it was a mistake, is like, because I'm stupid. We've seen kids do that all the time. It's because I'm dumb. It's because I'm not smart enough. It's because I'm not pretty enough. You know, those kind of things. How we treat them as parents or caregivers, it's how they're going to allow themselves to be treated as they grow. I get where we're coming from, because if a child does something that you don't like, you're trying to correct that behavior. We should work on wanting to help them, not judge them, not hurt them, not getting to the core of who they are. They've done a bad thing. They are not a bad person. I don't know if that's making sense. I hope it is. You know, I did a whole podcast on self-esteem. If you haven't listened to it, you should go and listen to it, because it's centered on how we value ourselves. And if we don't develop a healthy view of ourselves, and if we don't help our kids develop a healthy view of themselves, they become more prone to problems. Anxiety, depression, eating disorders, anger issues, like, the list is endless. At the core of bad behavior, at the core of delinquency, at the core of crime, there is a problem somewhere in the foundation. And it's usually with whoever took care of us or didn't take care of us. And it all starts with how they view us and how they make us see ourselves. What we say becomes their reality. I know the intention is to correct unacceptable behavior, and it's a form of discipline, but how effective is shaming, really? You know, what I find worse these days is how it has even become more public than it was before. So, you know, sometimes you'd be shamed maybe when it's just you or in front of your siblings, or worst case scenario, in front of extended family during that Christmas holiday or during that church event. But for me, I think the need for fame is causing some parents to choose to, like, we're recording ourselves shaming our kids is a form of discipline and sharing it on public places like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And how do I say this? Okay. The internet is a digital platform. There's something I think I've heard IT people call a digital print. It's like a fingerprint, and it never goes away. As long as you've sent it out there, you're never ever going to take it out. Delete it from there, it's already in somebody's phone being shared somewhere else. Imagine putting a digital print of damaging a child through shaming them that will never be erased from the global world. Harming the relationship that you two have, which is the most important thing, because now at that point, they're just like, if dad, mom, whoever it is treating me like this, who am I? Do they really love me? Do they care? It becomes a conclusion, and then they grow up to be rebellious. They don't want to listen to what you have to say because they're like, you really don't even care. You're probably just doing this for yourself. And I don't think we want to damage our relationships. That's my guess. But yeah, let me first describe, I feel like I've said let me first, or start by, I think I've said that a lot, and I'm sorry. So I'm going to describe what shaming constitutes. It's giving embarrassing or private stories about your child, especially in front of others, in a bid to try and manipulate their behavior. And it's mostly intentional, so that you make your child feel bad about themselves as a person. You see, not just their behavior, but who they are. And that's where the problem is. The behavior is wrong and that needs to be corrected, but the child is not a wrong person. In the existence as a person, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just their behavior and their children, even us as adults. You know what? What irritates me, I don't know if I can say irritates me, is that I know we don't put ourselves in children's shoes. And the reason why I always give examples of us or asking us to think about things is children are people too. And if we see that they are like us, just way more emotional and unable to handle things because they're not yet mature enough, even if it's adolescents, teenagers, they haven't had 40, 30, 20 years, 50, 70 years of experience to know how to handle these things. And we are allowed to get sad and get angry and not want to talk to people, but we don't expect them to do the same thing. We shout at them, we embarrass them, all this kind of stuff. Like, children are people too. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that, but I will keep saying that because I'm dealing with these kids and I see them in adolescence, I see them going into young adulthood, and I just see how they're coming out. And when I'm talking to them, the pain that's in their messages. You know, it's even these text messages when I'm checking up on the kids that I taught when they're like 13 and they're now like in their 20s. I don't know what to do. Like, if I could hug and just give them all a fresh start of love and care and everything. But I can't do that. So all I do is affirm them that I love them and that I'm always going to be there for them. Okay, you know what? Back to the topic. I know you want to help them change, but we need to understand the difference between shame and guilt. Guilt tells me that I did something bad, while shame tells me that I am bad. Danielle, you did a bad thing. That's not right. You need to change it. Danielle, you're a bad person. Like, that's even more hurtful even just saying it out loud. And I know that what we want our kids, we don't want our kids to live with shame. We don't want them to be beating themselves up and not able to get over the mistakes they make when they become adults and get into harmful habits simply because shaming was a thing that happened to them. We want them to know that, yes, we can make mistakes and come out of them, but we are not the mistake. Their quote-unquote bad behavior, it's usually not intentional. Like, especially the young kids, it's mostly because they're mostly unable to properly communicate their needs, unlike adults. So they throw tantrums, and that might be because they're hungry or they're angry or they're anxious, they're tired, they're hurt, they're feeling overwhelmed. They don't know how to communicate it, or they've never been given the option to communicate it. So they're scared. So the only way is to throw a fit. I mean, that's only if it's a habit that we have not let them develop, because you allowed it through their life. Every time they cry for something, you give them. Every time you cry, that's a different kind of tantrum. But if you know that's not how you raise them, and they're suddenly throwing fits or being in a kind of way that is not something you're expecting, there's something wrong, and we need to find out what it is. Somebody's probably listening and saying, oh, Danielle, you know what? It's too late. I've already shamed my kids enough. I probably already destroyed their self-esteem, blah, 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 blah. Well, it isn't too late. I say that often in my podcast. There's always an opportunity to make things right with them and apologize, whether they are 3 or they are 30. Just let them know you made a mistake. Man is to error and you're sorry and won't do it again. Well, at least you try not to. Just be genuine, because at the end of it all, the apology is what goes a long way. So even when they make mistakes, they will learn to apologize. But the point is, once you apologize, they will realize, you know what? I'm not a problem. The problem is not me. So that's some point where I think also when it comes to things like divorce, children think they are the problem. Like, maybe this divorce was because of me. I don't know. I think it would be very interesting to do a research on that, because I know not all of them think that way when that happens, but majority has. It's mostly because they've been blamed for mistakes and made to look like the problem. So that's like their default to go through. So it's not too late. Just find your child, even if they're 50 and you're 70. Call them up and tell them, I'm sorry, you know, for doing this and this. You have no idea how much it will change your life. You can have a 50-year-old with such low self-esteem, into drugs and alcohol, whatever excess that they're doing. And mom or dad just calls and says, you know what, I remember when this happened and I shamed you for it, or this number of times, if I ever did, I'm really sorry. I want you to know you're not the problem. It was the behavior that I wanted to correct. Believe you me, you will find people stop to use drugs, alcohol. They will stop indulging in unacceptable behavior. Somebody's life can change immediately, regardless of their age. We all need love, and we all need assurance that everything is going to be okay, and we are okay, and we are loved, and we are secure, and our parents got our back. You know, your relationship with your child is powerful enough to correct that bad behavior. We don't have to shame them. We don't have to make them feel like it's them. It's a habit in them. And find out, you know, in English, sometimes, is it a habit we also had as children or teenagers? Because a lot of it, they pick from us as adults. Or is it inherited? Some of these things, I mean, you've got to find out where the root is. But just talk to them. Build a relationship with them and use that to change their behavior. Love changes everything. That one I'm certain of. I will never doubt that. Love changes everything. Nothing cannot be changed by love. Unless you're the devil. I mean, that one, I think he was given his many chances and he was like, nah. And maybe there are people who go to that level. But by the time somebody's getting to that level of not wanting to hear and love not working for them, there's a lot of trauma that's happened. And that's what we're trying to avoid. And that's why baby steps exist. Ask them to talk about what they did. So if they did something, like, okay, so this is what happened. What did you do? And what are the consequences of the actions? and what would they want to do better? Or what do they think they could have done better? Or if they're really young, like 5 and below, and still learning how to deal with big emotions, always add asking them, what can I do to help you make a better choice? Is there anything I can do to support you? But this is not just for little ones. All of us can need a little bit of help. I make a mistake and, you know, I wouldn't mind my mom or brother or my personal person or my dad just telling me, you know what, I don't appreciate this. Can I help? Is it something I need to keep you accountable for? Do you need to go for therapy or anger management? Whatever it is, just let everybody know there's help. And also point out how their actions have negatively affected those around them. Or if they destroyed something, the effects. And they've got to pay. You know, like not harmful paying, but they've got to pay. Just teaches them responsibility. And that's what constructive criticism looks like. Very different from shaming. Let me bring it to us as I come to a close. Imagine if you were working for someone and you made a mistake in the office or acted or said something inappropriate. And the option was to come and tell you, okay, you know what, this is what happened. I think this needs to change. But they decide, you know what, let me call the whole organization, everybody, from the top to the bottom, every single person, every 500 of us, and put you at the center and shame you right there, shouting at what you've done and telling everybody. It sounds ugly and wrong, right? I mean, I will keep repeating that our children are people too, and they're even more sensitive than we are. So if we wouldn't like that to happen to us, we sure as daylight shouldn't do that to them. Let me try and summarize everything I've said. One, focus on the behavior, not the child as a person. So we're not attacking who they are. We are trying to correct the bad behavior. Teach emotional intelligence so that they know whenever they're doing things, it does not only affect them, it affects a lot of people. Also model good behavior. Kids are monkey see, monkey do. So what they see is what they do. It's not what you tell them. So model good behavior. Avoid labeling them ugly, bad, stupid, whatever it is. Avoid labeling them. And please don't try as much as possible not to compare them to other people's children. Okay? God bless you with these ones. Work with them. Their grass looks greener, but there's a lot of work that's happening on the other side. So what are yours? And then also understand that mistakes are part of normal growth. So don't be too harsh on them. And the times you notice they're feeling ashamed, overly timid or something, please encourage them to talk about it. Let them acknowledge what's happened and acknowledge the feelings and just move on. It breaks my heart to see kids with low self-esteem. It breaks my heart to see kids being shamed in front of, I mean, sometimes kids can get frustrating. Have your meeting with other parents and let out your frustrations there. But don't do it in front of the child. But also, you don't really need to talk about it. If it's a big deal, talk to your spouse or talk to one other person. So that, because these other families might go and talk in front of their children, then their children will come to school and tell your child, and then it's this whole thing. So I think let's just try and avoid that. Let's let our kids know they're loved and valued, and we'll do anything to protect them. And shaming is not one of them. There's so many other ways we can correct behavior. If you grew up being shamed, I'm sure you understand what I mean. I think I have said so much. I love you guys. I want you to spread the same love to children. Please do share this episode with other people. If you want to reach me, you can get me on babystepsbyd@gmail.com. D is D double E. babystepsbyd@gmail.com. That's it for me. Bye.